Let's take time to honour and thank God for his faithfulness during this past year. Psalm 126 says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." 2018 was a busy and productive year. We finally moved into our new office facility at Karaka Street. We began construction and had working bees, and we even started our services in December. Earlier in the year, we hosted the Oceania Every Nation Campus Summit. We had campus directors all around the region coming into Auckland to be trained, equipped, and inspired. We were blessed with prophetess Eileen Fabregas to come down here. So many people had turning points in their lives as they were truly encouraged. We launched Lifebox Trust, our community arm, and it was wonderful to give away hampers to our neighbours here at Karaka Street. We also launched our second weekend service we call Karaka Nights. It's a service that targets young adults who are not yet following Jesus. And we birthed Every Nation Hamilton in January 2019. And also later on in February, we sent another missions team to Fiji to love the people and strengthen the church. Our God has been incredibly faithful. He has done so much in and through our church. We've had 45 salvations, an additional 32 baptisms, and 72 people have joined our church family. Our average weekend service attendance has gone past 300 for the first time. It's now at 314. That's 14% above last year. Our Connect Group attendance has grown by 22%. Now it's 413 people are under the influence of our Connect Groups. Above our tithes and offerings, we have seen people give so generously to our miracle offering. Last year we saw around about $155,000 be brought in for our miracle offering. For every life touched and every life transformed, for every life healed and every life saved, and every life who feels a deep sense of belonging, we give honor and praise to Jesus. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever."
Good morning. How are you all doing? Great. We're going to sit down at least at the beginning here and just talk a bit more about that. But before we do, I just want to welcome Alfred and Alvera from Every Nation Hamilton. Come on, guys, give us a big wave. Oh, come on, give us a wave. Come on, there we go. They're doing an outstanding job. We're still establishing our core team down there and getting ready and preparing to launch and grow. And so very, very exciting. I hope you're doing well. Have you asked your neighbor, how are you? That human being beside you, they have feelings, you know. They want to feel the love. Kia ora. My name's Richard, and it's a real joy to be with you this morning. I often come to this church. I love it, and I love these people. We showed that video again this morning because usually about a third of our church, maybe a quarter to a third, are away each week. And so we don't want people to miss out on honoring God. It's really the heartbeat behind all of last week was about honoring God. It's all about Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about people. It's why he came. And so we just wanted to make sure everyone that calls this place home feels and knows what God's doing here. But the three things that were probably the highlight, I'm sure you'll agree, and the feedback to me was exactly this, that the three stories that we listened to, we heard an extensive story of Claude and Tanya and Timana and Lucina right down here with their children, or at least two of them, and also Elisa, she's here. We took the time to tell stories about life because we didn't want that just to be numbers. It's about human people. Who enjoyed that? I asked this question, what would have become of their lives if no one had shared Jesus with them. I think we saw clues in their stories. At least two of them talked about suicide. Certainly without Christ in their life, there would be brokenness and devastation. Who would like to hear two more stories this morning? Who likes stories? God's stories. Well, yesterday we had about 48 men in this room with God, with each other, doing our Men's Freedom Weekend. And we had two men that rededicated their lives to God. We had about eight or more that were filled with the Holy Spirit, a bunch of them receiving the gift of tongues. One went down like a bag of salt. So it was quite a moment. We had, I believe, a healing. God was here. The Holy Spirit was here. It was actually, I think, our best. It wasn't just the teaching. It was the flow of the Holy Spirit touching lives. And so we would love for you to hear two more stories, maybe in a different kind of format. But I want to welcome two precious brothers up here with me from two different places on the planet. First of all, I want to welcome Misaki. Misaki, would you come and join me, sir? This fine-looking... And also, if I could invite John or Janelle. Oh, you need that, don't you? Take a seat, guys. Aren't they some fine-looking specimens there? Come on. Masculinity wrapped up in human flesh. Is that a good introduction? Fantastic. We spent, Friday night together? Yep. And then we spent most of yesterday from 9 in the morning to 5 together as men. And he's just, you know, God's going to do something when men are honest, when men are real. There's too much fakeness in church. There's too much things that, we always want to present something and look our very best, and often it's just not reality. And you know, God looks right through that. And some of us humans can look past a bunch of stuff as well. And so thank you guys for agreeing to come up here and talk and share. And let me just ask you this question: what did God do for you this last 24 hours or this weekend through Men's Freedom Weekend? Would you like to kick us off, Misaki? What did God do for you, brother?
Thank you. I want to thank Pastor Richard for allowing me to sit up here before the church this morning. I'm also proud this morning that I'm one of the 72 new members that have just joined the church. And I can tell you this is a good church. Straight to the question I've been asked, when I was told about the Experiencing Freedom Weekend, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even register myself. My wife had to do it for me. I was happy that she registered not only me, but also our eldest son, Akash, who was a 16-year-old boy, decided to come along. I came in, I sat down, and I thought, okay, this is, simple stuff, basic stuff for me. To be honest, I didn't know what to expect. At the end of Friday's meeting, we had the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Ooh. Mm. Praise God.
I came up, and I was standing up here. I didn't experience much, to be honest. However, I went back home on Friday. I came back on Saturday morning, came in the second day. I sat down, and I decided to go out to go and make me a cup of coffee. I walked into the bathroom, and I met one of the brothers. He was standing there with toilet paper in his hands, and he was saying, "Bro, I don't know. I keep bleeding, man. It's an ongoing thing." I listened to his stories, and he was going on and on. I couldn't, I don't know, something raised up from within me. I walked out of the bathroom. I went and made myself a cup of coffee, and I waited for him to come out, and he was taking long. I walked back inside. I said, bro, when you're done, come out. I want to pray for you. When he came out, I set him down on the couch out there while all the men were here, and I laid my hands on his head, and I prayed for him. Something I've never experienced came upon. I felt a release. I just felt this power just surge through me. Bang. And into this brother.
Beautiful.
And I can tell you, it was the power of the Holy Ghost. It's something that I haven't experienced for a very long time. It was very different.
Fantastic. Wonderful, Masaki. Thank you for that. John, would you like to share what the Lord did for you?
Hello. Good morning. So I'm John from Philippines. And please bear with me with my accent, because I'm not really good in English and not really good in Filipino as well. So just let me know if there's some blood coming out of from my nose, right? But okay, the Freedom Weekend. Man, because they rename it to Experiencing Freedom. So okay, when they announced it 2 months ago, I just signed up, not knowing what's that. And then I talked to Mike. Mike knows my story way back in the Philippines. So he said, it's a victory weekend. Ah, okay, victory weekend. So I had my first victory weekend in the Philippines for 2016. So that was really a turnaround, 180 degrees with my dark past, and then God changed me. And then the next victory weekend that I attended is with my disciple. And the next victory weekend is with my disciple's disciple. So it's, you know, when the passion is there, sharing the word of God, you multiply, honor God, and make disciples. Mm. So, okay, so this is just another victory weekend for me. And then it really cost $35. So having no job here, $35, you know. So I would sign up. So I asked my wife, should I sign up? $35 is $35, you know. So imagine in the Philippines, that's my comfort zone. I'm having a job, good job. The management level, and then I'm living in Bonifacio Global City, so if you know it, and then I have a car, I have a yaya, and then everything's good, and then I'm just sharing the word of God in my comfort zone. And then there's an opportunity came that we need to go to New Zealand. It was my wife's dream and prayer for a long time, and then I was okay. Then John Ortberg mentioned, if you want to walk in water, just get out of your boat. Okay, God, you're asking me to get out of the boat and walk in water. In New Zealand, no job. Renting that apartment, no car. What will I do there? Can I share your word without my comfort zone? And then, okay, go with the victory. Go with the Experiencing Freedom. Let's go. Friday night. Yeah, it's just the feeling of the Holy Spirit, you know. It's just another day. Because if you're really in the presence of God every day, the Holy Spirit will fill you. Okay, it was amazing. I felt it. And then, actually, there's an urge for me to go in front, because a lot of people want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go there and, you know, be with them, something like that. But, you know, I'm the new guy here. Who am I? So I just stayed there. And then, okay, let the leaders do their job. And then on Saturday morning, Lord, I encountered this David in the table. And then he reminded me of Psalms 51, verse 17, saying that a broken spirit and then a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Janelle, in your brokenness, I will make it straight, everything. Lord, I don't have a job. You know what answered the freedom? It's the faith. He sealed my faith. He sealed the security. He sealed my identity. And then that last 20 minutes of Saturday, man, okay, God, everything is clear now. And then JR, new guy, came here. Then said, no, I signed up in the Freedom Weekend because I saw John And I saw Billy sign up. Okay. And then Billy mentioned, the reason why I signed up is because John signed up. And I now remember that I'm the first one who signed up for the Freedom Weekend. And then, that's where God told me, son, I'm answering your prayers. Because your prayers is to share your word regardless of your situation. And you're not teaching discipleship on how they will do that. You should go with them and walk in the Freedom Weekend together with you. That's how you show. That's how Jesus showed his disciples. Now I'm using you regarding your situation, your job, your accomplishment, your skills. Son, you will remain faithful in me even without this. Because you, I am enough for you. I've chosen you to stand and do what I'm asking you to do. Use you to share the word of God.
There's a preach going on there, mate. That's great. Fantastic. I'm intrigued. I was contemplating the three stories last week and wondering what might become of their lives if they'd never met Jesus, and whether they're in fact even with us today. I want to ask you two men the same thing. What do you think your life would look like if you didn't have Jesus, Misaki?
10 years ago, Prior to that, 14 years ago, I walked away from the church I was in Fiji. I promised something to myself, and I believe God also heard. I said, I will not go back to church after a very long time. 4 years after that, I decided to come to New Zealand. That was 10 years ago. Amazingly, my first Sunday here, I was back in church. However, I'd like to say here, you know, I was going to church, but I was like coerced to go to church. I was kind of forced because why? The family I stayed with were Christians, and they had to go to church every Sunday. I stayed here for about 10 months. I came on an exploration hoping that I'd be able to find a job offer and find better opportunities, not only for me, but with my family. I left my wife behind and my three children, and I came. 10 months into my staying here in New Zealand, I still hadn't found myself a job offer. I was doing casual jobs here and there, and the bad news came from Fiji that forced me to go back to my family. I would call home sometimes, and my children would say, Mom hasn't come back from work. I would call the next morning, and Mom still hasn't come back from work. I decided to go back to Fiji. I went back to Fiji. The day I arrived back in Fiji, my wife had packed all her things in the morning and moved out of the house. Left my three children in the house with a house girl. Eventually, I and my three children were evicted from the home. It was my dream home. I've always asked God, as a young person, to give me a house with a sea view. And that was the dream home that God gave me. It was architecturally designed by one of my friends, and we built it overlooking Suva City Harbor in Fiji, the capital of Fiji. I lost that home. I was evicted by the bank. I was told to get out of the house with my three children, and we had to move in to my sister. To cut the long story short, I lost my wife. I lost my home. I lost my self-esteem. I lost everything. That was a life without Jesus. That was when I decided to walk away from Jesus. It brings devastation. Brings destruction. I was not a good role model to my children. I ended up start going back to my old ways. I had backslidden. I told the man yesterday, we can be coming to church. We can dress up so nicely. But we are backslidden on the inside of us. I was doing the same. I would go to church on Sunday. I would take my children to church. But I would find the time to still enjoy my life as a single man. I would go out to the nightclubs. I would drink. I would do all the silly things that any man would do. That was life without Jesus. 10 years, fast forward 10 years later, 2015, I started going to church seriously. I met the beautiful lady who's not here with us today, Felicia. She was also a divorcee. I ended up divorced, and I met her. She also had 3 children. The same year we met, we decided to get married. Fast forward to 2018, last year. She applied for migration to New Zealand without my knowledge. We were going to church. We were growing in the Lord. We ended up at the Every Nation Church in Fiji. One Sunday, I just told her, why don't we go visit Every Nation Fiji? We ended up in church. I sat in church, and something struck me as the pastor, Jared, stood up to start sharing. When he mentioned the word discipleship, something just hit me. The next Sunday, I told my wife, we're going back to that church. I went back. We kept going to that church until we migrated here in November of 2018, which is just last year. To me, it was a turnaround from life without Jesus, and knowing Jesus was when we came here and plugged into this church and meeting honorable men like Pastor Richard, Pastor Weong, Pastor Alfred. I honor my brother Infe and Malia was sitting here in the front. They've been very instrumental in our discipleship, taking us through counseling and stuff. And yeah.
Wonderful.
For me, it's been a complete turnaround.
Yes.
The experiencing Freedom Weekend, I tell you, it was a breakthrough. Big breakthrough for me.
Praise God. Come on. Thank you.
Just one quick example. Malia and Infe would know. I and my wife, even though we are married, but there's always this tension between us. Okay, we may be a young couple. We've only married three years. But I don't know. You know, I felt this impression to talk to her, to ask her to pray together, to hold on and hold hands and even pray.
Good.
And it was a difficult thing for me. I didn't have the power to do that. Friday evening when I got home, sat with her on the dining table. I held her hand and I said, can we pray?
Thank you, Lord.
Last night when I got home, I hugged her. I just felt different yesterday. I just felt a release.
Beautiful.
I felt so different. I left this place. She picked me up from outside and my son. We went to St. Luke's Mall. The place was jammed with people, but I don't know. I just felt so different. I felt so sensitized. I felt so energized. I was so God conscious. I got home, I hugged her, and I've never done this after a long time. I asked her to forgive me. I said, I want to ask for forgiveness. We as husbands, we as men, we like to be machos. You think I'm big, I can't cry, but I'm crying. I cried last night. I hugged my wife. I said, I just want you to know that you are the best helpmate. You are the best helpmate that God has given me.
Amen.
And I'm sorry the way I've been living my life. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for being harsh with you. I'm sorry for belittling you. I've never done that for a very long time, in 3 years. I managed to do that after the experiencing freedom last night. Thank you so much.
Hello. Yeah. Mm. Wow. I was amazed. No, for me, life without Jesus, there's love. It's the opposite. I'm lost. Without Jesus, I think, as I shared yesterday, to our table, I have a really dark past, and I don't want to really share it to everyone. But without Jesus, probably it will be darker. And I'm really expert on one thing. In the Philippines, they call it a colleges. If there's dermatologists, there's cardiologists. I'm mycologist. I'm expert on being selfish. Me. It's always about me. It's always about me. The center of my world. And it's just coincidence that the I is the center of the sin word. It's I. And I love acrostic. What's the meaning of sin? It's Satan's I nature. That's what he brought. Brought Satan from being Lucifer to Satan. It's the I nature. I'm really overconfident. I'm pride. It's about me. If the millennial word, it's YOLO, it's YODO. Whatever. It's about me, not about you. It's about self-care. I don't care about you. It's about me. Yeah, and I'm running away from God. Even though, man, if you know the story of the prodigal son, a lot of preachers saying it's prodigal son. For me, no. It's the parable of the lost sons. Even the elder son is lost. So imagine me, I'm having legalistic mind, religious mind, but I have the prodigal son of, I have the hedonistic way of living. Man, that's a darker past. If there's two sons, I'm a hybrid son. But when God, I felt that God's running towards to me and saying, my son, do you know that I still love you? And God, what do you want from me? What do you really want from me? I mean, you're God without, I mean, you're still God. But having no God in my heart, I think I felt I'm nothing, you know. And then, son, I want your heart. Because, you know, my love is with you, you know, with Jesus. My love is with you. My love never fails. Mm. It never gives up of you. I just want your heart. Just repent and have a redemptive heart. With Jesus, I'm here, standing. And there's a prophecy that I will still, you know, share the gospel, and then a lot of people will be saved and will make disciples. And with Jesus,
amen.
He will just use me.
It's great, John.
You know, there's no superior mind to the intentional heart of God. Nah. That's what he told me. Son, I will use you. I will use you. Just wait for me, man.
There's one word that is increasingly gaining weight in my heart and mind to describe the condition of man without Jesus. And it's the simple four-letter word, lost. Lost into eternity, lost. And thank you for sharing your story, men, and please just remain with me for a bit longer. So last week we heard about three stories. Today we hear two more stories, but there are stories all through this auditorium this morning. Every person's got a story. I was talking to Jono and he was telling me how Jesus has given him the power to become a whole new man. He knew he needed to change and others told him he needed to change and he couldn't change himself. It was Jesus that changed him. I look at Mike and Katrina over there. It is not an exaggeration to say, this is the actual truth. without Jesus, they would be divorced and that would be a broken family. True? They arrived to church sitting apart. I look at my son Sam down here. He's got a story to tell. We can talk about Alice. He said he never really felt worthy. Jesus allowed him to start all over again. Giovanna's here, and she said that Jesus gave me inner comfort, peace, a strong sense of belonging. These things I speak of, friend, are priceless. You can't get a bank loan and go down the road and try to rescue a marriage or find peace. I wonder what would become of those people if they hadn't have found Jesus. But all the people we've mentioned, the three last week, these two right here, and the names I've just mentioned, and indeed there are so many stories in the room of healing, of wholeness, of redemption, of belonging, of peace and joy. All of these people belong to a spiritual family, a place called home. And there are others. There are others that are on their way. There are others that are yet to be here. Some have arrived. They're still making their way like the wildebeest across the African plain. Just in the last month, we've had 14 people get saved. Rosa, Myla, Chloe, Rosemary, Mark, Fred, George, Way, and six others, children, youth, off the campus. Most of them you don't see get saved here. They're getting saved in Connect groups. Some got saved a few weeks ago. These are people that are on their way to a spiritual home, but many will find their spiritual home here. It's a place called home. Those people we've just talked about. Every day, inch by inch, we're making their way to the very edge of eternal torment and hell. But because people in this room dared to share the gospel, dared to share the love of Christ, people's destinies changed. And their family and their children's children. I just look once again, I happen to be on this angle looking at Mike and Katrina. They should have been broken. The marriage should have been over. Statistically speaking, that should have ended. Knowing their children as I do, imagine the heartache. I don't have to imagine it because I'm a child of a broken marriage. And just this week, they've completed their Ministry of Partnership Development and they're coming on full time to serve our children and our youth. What would become of all of our lives if we had not met Jesus? Where would we be? I'm sure I wouldn't even be on the planet. I was running at sin at 100 miles an hour. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son, the most precious gift, the only person who can bring salvation to our very souls. But not just at salvation, not just to get access to heaven, but you heal. You restore, you can even change a man's heart and a woman's heart. And we thank you. Words are not enough. There's not enough gold on the planet to express our gratitude to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We honor you, sir. In your precious name we all pray. Amen. Can we give Masaki and John a hand as they make their way back to their seat? Bless you, brother. Bless you, bless you. Wow. Wonderful. Well, that took a little longer than I had anticipated, but it was worth it. Wouldn't you agree? If you're visiting here today, today and last week and these few weeks, they're a little bit unusual. We haven't got the usual sermon series. Because we as a church family take time to make sure that we all understand who we are and where we're going. Some people call it Vision Sunday. We just call it a place called home. Because really, heaven is our home. This is our spiritual home, but we're only here for a little while. It's like an apprenticeship. You go there to learn how to do stuff, and then you move into your trade. Heaven is where we're going to spend eternity. And so if you're visiting today, I offer something of an apology that this is not usual, but this is kind of home talk. But actually, I'm glad that you can sit at the table and enjoy some food with us as we talk about where we're going. We've taken time to honor God for what he's done, but I'm looking now at where we're going. What is God going to do? Why do we even come here? What's the purpose? Why does every nation, Auckland City even exist? Why don't we pack up and just join other churches? Well, that's because God has given us a vision. There's a clear vision. We respect and honor other houses of worship and their vision. Thank God for the body of Christ. But we have a vision. You know, many years ago, I think it was in the 80s, there was a song, not widely known, it was in the Christian circles, and these are when the days when Christian music, at least local Christian music, was pretty bad. But there was an artist, a singer-songwriter guy called Jules Riding. We might know the name. He wrote a song which really got into my heart. The title of the song is There Room in Your Family for One More? It wasn't long after that my wife and I developed the conviction that if we hear of anybody who's about to abort a child, we will take the child. We wouldn't even ask for each other's permission. You know, normally, Jeremy, bless his heart, bought a house without speaking to his wife. Felicia bought a ticket to come to, applied for a job, without talking to her. There's just some things you've got to do. And we have a conviction that if we have any young lady, regardless of circumstance, if they're about to abort, we will take the child. Because there's always room at the table for one more. I want to show you three images this morning. If we can put the first one up, team, that would be great. The Christchurch terror attack, just what was it? 6 weeks ago, something like that. The confusion, the trauma, the hatred, a despicable act of hatred. And to see our government try as it did and try as it must do its very best to address the needs of people. And much of how our government responded, in my opinion, was great. I did not agree, and I think it was wrong to have an Islamic prayer across our national airways. That was wrong. And I have other concerns about some of the responses, but I believe there were some good things that happened, and you saw the goodness of humanity and, unfortunately, the hatred of humanity as well. But we have a nation that is hurting. Let's pick up the next image. Just, I think, Thursday, Friday, putting this final talk together, I thought, let me just have a glance at the New Zealand Herald. And this is what popped up. There's an article on the top left, shocking video of vicious attack, vicious assault sent to terrified victims. There's our Prime Minister talking about the uncomfortable truth of suicide. We've got gang tension in here about killabees and tribesmen. We've got the whole Israel Folau situation. We won't even get into that today. We've got a young pop star here. Concerned, she's having her breasts groped while she's trying to do her performance. This young guy here, hero student, that's a world story, but it's so typical of our own nation. Everywhere we go, there's broken, hurting people. Let's go to the next and third and final image. If you don't recognize this building, this is a building, the Whitkill store in Queen Street, Auckland. Look at it. What do you see? What do you see? Do you see the people on the street? Do you see the faces in the windows of shops, people working? You know there are people living in apartment blocks. These are people with hearts. These are people with hopes. These are people just like the stories we heard last week and today. What will become of their lives if they don't meet Jesus Christ? These people, most of them, they're putting all their hope, friend, on money. They're putting all their hope, if I can get that job and get that money or get the girl or get the guy, if I could finally have a baby, somehow that's going to bring it to me. Can I tell you, life's going to happen, tragedy's going to happen, unfaithfulness is going to happen, people are going to go to substances looking for solutions. Some people will try to take their lives thinking that will be the solution. Little do they know. Disappointment and betrayal is coming their way. What will happen to them? Should we stand by and watch from our very comfortable distance, our very sanitized, air-conditioned, lazy boy, Christian, let's look for the next teaching, comfortable area? What's the solution? I think the best national anthem in the world is our national anthem. God defend New Zealand. It talks about strife and war, and I think the author of the national anthem was probably then talking about attacks from abroad, ships and guns, but also the national anthem talks about hate and corruption coming from within. God wants to defend New Zealand. Can someone give me an amen on that? I think we as a nation make it very hard for him. We try to kick him out of the schools and kick him out of parliament and kick him out of homes. Thank God, because of his grace and his mercy, I still believe he wants to defend our great nation. What is his plan? What is God's solution? Does he even have one? Is he up there just hoping that we can make it somehow? No, he's not. God has a plan, my friend. God has always had a plan. He's only got the one plan. He's only ever had the one plan. He doesn't have a plan B. It's a plan A. It was his plan from the beginning, and it's his plan today. And you know, want to know what the plan is? The church. It's the church. You might say, well, it's Jesus. The bride of Christ is Jesus on the planet. You might say, well, it's the gospel. He gave it, the gospel, to the church to distribute amongst the peoples of the nations of the world. The church is God's plan. From the first century to the 21st century, from the disciples of Christ to the missionaries, down through the ages to May 2019, God's only plan has been a growing band of ordinary people who emerge with heartfelt faith and missionary zeal that refuse to stop. It's no longer the day of rock stars on the stage. It's about ordinary church people with jobs and mortgages and lawns to cut who love Jesus, who have the message of hope inside of them, and they can talk to Lucina, and they can talk to Claude and Tanya. They can talk to Masaki. They can talk to Giovanna. They can talk to Sam Urban. They can talk. They can share. It's always been God's plan. A growing band of people on fire. In love with Jesus. We've institutionalized it and made it all consumerist and nice and comfortable. Meanwhile, lives that we see and have spoken about, or lives very similar, are falling into eternity away from God. It was to the church, the beautiful church, the church of the people of God, called by the hand of God, filled with the Spirit of God, who moved beyond the four walls of the church with the love of God and the truth of God to a lost people who are far from God. Jesus said to the church, go and make disciples of all nations. I'm so glad we're a multicultural church. Can anybody say amen to that? Dude, I love the cultures. I love diversity. I love unity and diversity. Go and make disciples. This is who we are. It's who every nation, Auckland City is. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. It's just who we are. The church should always be advancing. The church should always be advancing. It's not my words. It's Jesus' words. There they are at Caesarea Philippi, and the location is huge, by the way. It's a very significant point. Caesarea Philippi is right there at the foot of Rome. And to say the words that Peter is about to say to Jesus is worthy of death. But he says, who do people say I am? So while some call you John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, but he says, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter, the impetuous one, he speaks up and he says, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but your Father in heaven. Upon this, not upon Peter, upon the revelation of the anointed one, upon the living Christ, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. I want you to see this. Do gates move? Well, they rotate on the hinge, I know, but if you think about locked up gates, gates don't move. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to see the imagery that Jesus is wanting to see here. The church is a moving force. The church is in unity, and it's moving force, and these big gates and big stone pillars with wooden turrets in between, and there's a pressure, and there's a force that's pushing, that's pounding, that's banging, that's pressurizing, and there's cracks, and there's noise, and there's hope that's beginning to emerge as light begins to flicker through the doors as the church keeps advancing and pushing as we go into the enemy's territory and rescue lives. That's the picture. That's the imagery. The church is moving, and it's the devil who wants to destroy the unity of church. It's the church boldly banging on the gates of darkness with the message of the gospel. Church family, we must continue to move beyond our comfort zone and press on into enemy territory. We must. Will you join me? We must take the good news of the gospel to the lost people of New Zealand. I love this land. I plan to live here for the rest of my life and give every drop of blood for her. This nation is church history. Only 200 years ago, the gospel came here, and it's reported that about 60% of New Zealand, primarily, of course, Maori people, were in church on Sunday. Didn't look like this. It was in the marae, and they were encircled, and they discovered Te Rangapai, the gospel that came through Samuel Marsden and Ruatara only 200 years ago. And in between, there'd been many men and women of God preaching, oh, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those days must come back. We need revival in our country. We need to move upon our nation. Look at our government, and I speak respectfully, and I think our Prime Minister, for all intents and purposes, is trying really to do the right thing. But the government doesn't have the answer. The government cannot change your heart. Only Jesus can change your heart, and it's our job, the church. The government should be asking the church for advice. How can you partner with us? How can we help with this? We have the answer. It's called the gospel. We've got to take the good news to New Zealand, and that's what every nation, Auckland City, does. We plant churches that redeem campuses and communities where throughout New Zealand and the South Pacific. We're focusing on New Zealand. We have Auckland City. We have Tauranga. We have Hamilton. We have our sister church in Manukau. We have a sister church in Christchurch. We have 5 Every Nation churches. I want 20 before I die. I want 20 before I go to be with Jesus. That's my heart. Churches that multiply churches. People that are missional. People that are all in love with Jesus and sharing the gospel. Ordinary people like me. And you, together, to this land. I want us to keep pressing on. God has called us. We have never deviated from this vision. I'm repeating myself in many respects. We will not deviate from what God has done in the short few years that we have been in existence since 2014. We shall not stop. The grace of God is with us. God has allowed us step by step every year to grow, step by step every year to believe God and to expand. We have needs in this building, but we've chosen to plant Every Nation Hamilton. It's exciting. Would you say amen to that? God's grace to plant churches. We want to go to Wellington. We want to go to Palmerston North. We want to go to Napier and Gisborne, Rotorua, Whangarei, Dunedin, Nelson, Blenheim. Oh, can you see 20 churches? There are other churches. I want to make this comment. Great churches and movements. Alongside of them is Every Nation. I can see 20 churches up and down these islands that have lordship, that have evangelism, that have spiritual family, that raise up leaders and release people. That's my vision. Every city covered. And those churches are not just meeting, trying to listen to the man or woman of God and just be entertained, but they're actually a gathering of small groups, of connect groups, life-giving, powerful small groups, all fizzing and popping and full of the Spirit of God, reaching friends and family with the gospel and doing it as a family together all across these cities. Can you see it? 20 cities. You imagine the top 20 most populated cities in New Zealand with thriving Every Nation churches, well-resourced, lordship, evangelism, discipleship, leadership development, and spiritual family. I'm telling you, friend, us along with other wonderful movements can really see significant change in our nation. I believe we actually have the power in this very room. Catch this big statement, but I believe it's absolutely true. There's enough power and energy and call and talent in this room to change New Zealand. I believe that. Don't get ahead of yourself, Richard. I so want to go there right now. There's biblical evidence. There's reasons to believe why we alone could change New Zealand. Dear family, we will continue to advance in 2019. This year, we've got some specific goals. We want to share that with you. Every year, this is kind of how we roll. I know different churches do it different ways. For us, we've got a clear vision that's articulated, that we've got a strong staff and team around. It's a high level of buy-in in this place, which is powerful, because earth has never been changed by the majority. We do want to grow, and praise God, He has brought growth, but we don't focus on growth. We focus on health. If you focus on health, that naturally produces growth. You understand? And so we put together a little video, it's a very simple video, but just to communicate. Each year we have specific goals that we are targeting, that we're believing God to achieve. We call them faith goals. There's faith, but there's also some intellect behind them, and there's an intention, and there's a stretch, but we believe we can do it. We're planning to do it, and every year we accomplish most of our goals, almost all of our goals. So let's run that video, if we could do that right now.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The call of Jesus is clear. The needs of people are all around us. The gospel is the answer. The power of God is available. We will continue to make disciples of all nations, one life at a time. We see small groups growing and multiplying all over as we reach every suburb and every corner of our city and every city in our country. This is the heartbeat of Every Nation Auckland City. To help this, we have identified 7 key faith goals for 2019. We're believing God for 53 new disciples. Those are people who have been saved, baptized, and added to our church. Secondly, we want to empower 50 Connect Group leaders, because everybody yes. wants authentic relationship. We are going to launch our Leadership Equipping School, we see a need to equip and empower our leaders. We're going to conduct a missions trip to Papua New Guinea because God loves the nations. We're also going to revitalize every nation youth because the fight for the next generation is intensifying and the church needs to become a louder influence in the lives of youth. We are going to run a Christmas Eve party because we want to demonstrate the love of God to our neighbors. And we're going to conduct a church planting scouting trip to Wellington because planting churches is still the best way to redeem campuses and communities. In addition to these seven key faith goals, later in the year we are going to have a dedication service, a time where we present to the Lord our new church home and we ask for His presence and His power to fill every room as we use it for His glory and His honor. We also, once again, are going to welcome into Auckland a prophetic ministry to encourage and strengthen and have nights of the Holy Spirit fire in this building. Dear church family, 2019 is shaping up to be an exciting year. Let's make 2019 count. As William Carey, the great missionary to India, said, let's expect great things from God and attempt great things for God.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we have an opportunity to change history. I believe we do. I believe we can change the course of this nation. I wonder if you believe me this morning. I want to tell you a story in John chapter 20. Jesus had died and the stone was rolled away. And Mary Magdalene saw two angels and she went in and there's a conversation there. And then someone behind her, it was Jesus, but she didn't know it was Jesus. She thought it might have been a gardener. She didn't recognize him because he wasn't in his earthly body anymore. You can read this in John chapter 20. And he refers to woman, woman, and she still didn't get it until he used her name, Mary. And she went, my goodness me, and she got a revelation. This is Jesus, the teacher. And she went off, and all the disciples were found in a room, and it says in the scriptures that they were in a locked room, and they were in fear. Even though Jesus prophesied it, that he would rise from the dead and show up, they were still afraid of the Jewish leaders, and it says that they were behind closed doors. In John chapter 20, verse 19 to 23, in the New Living Translation, it says that Sunday evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. Why? Because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, as I mentioned. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. He didn't knock at the door. There's no tuk, tuk, tuk. Oh, it's you. He showed up. He Casper the Ghost, if you will. He didn't even go through the door. He just appeared to the disciples, and the grace of God is beautiful. He couldn't have done this, but he did do it. He kept the scars on his hands, and with a spear went on his side to show, I am the one who rose from the dead. I have overcome the world. He showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. Everyone just say peace. Peace be with you. Why does he say that twice in the text? Because they were afraid. He's about to give them a reminder of the great task. Look at his words here. He said, peace be with you. This is what I want to focus on. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I can't open that up, but it's very interesting. Goes right back to Genesis 2 when man began in the Old Testament, and this is the beginning of the new covenant. He breathed, like God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he breathed upon them. It's quite a beautiful teaching there, but one day we'll pull that out. But they received the Holy Spirit, and he said to them, if you forgive anyone's sins, they will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Powerful. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. They received it. They left Jerusalem. They went to Judea, to Samaria, to Europe. And Europeans brought the gospel down here through the local Māori, Ruatara in Sydney, through Samuel Marsden. And the gospel made its way. The gospel has spread all over the planet. And there are millions of Christians. Just a small band of ordinary believers with the Holy Spirit inside of them and the clear instructions from the Lord Jesus Christ changed the nation. I believe we can change the course of this nation, praise God. But do you know what this tells me? History is made by men and women of faith who have met a living God. History is made by men and women of faith who have met with a living God. I believe God has called you, my friend, to do great things for Him. Jesus says these amazing words. I tell you the truth. Why does He even have to say that? Because we're going to think He's lying. We're not sure we really believe this. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in Me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Jesus said that. He's fully expecting that we can do the same works as Him and even greater works. Isn't that amazing? Can you see life as a whole lot more than just paying the bills on time next week? Praise God, keep paying the bills, keep mowing the lawns, keep raising the children, keep being diligent in your workplace, my friend. There's a higher calling here. There's a missional commission by the Holy Spirit upon the people of God to share the gospel and go into the highways and byways with this beautiful message. Greater things. Miracles. I think there's nothing, no more greater miracle than a changed heart. No more greater miracle. Revival. Revival's for the church, by the way. Revival is for things that once were alive, now they're dead. People who don't know God, they don't need revival. They were never alive in the first place. What they need is a new birth. Our vision does need strong faith, but also, listen clearly, our vision does also require great sacrifice. As we move forward as a church family, as we move forward, hundreds and thousands more God stories will be written across our land. We haven't even got into Hamilton and Tauranga with the God stories. I've shown you and we've listened to stories from our own people here in Auckland City. Listen carefully. If you're a member of this church, I'm talking to you now. I want to call upon every member of every nation, Auckland City, to do its fair share. I want to call upon every member of our church to do its fair share, to pray for the leaders. Man, we need the prayers, but pray for your fellow church members to serve. Please do your fair share. Find one area that you can serve. We need to spread the load so we don't burn anybody out. That's one of my key responsibilities, surely, is to make sure that no one's getting even close to burnout. There's enough people in the church to do all that's required if we all just do our fair share. What about tithing? If we just all do our fair share, that would be fantastic. Sharing the gospel, if we just learn and attend disciple makers and learn how to. We all know we should do, but how to actually get it to that conversation with people. I'm asking you today. Every church member to do your fair share. But also, I want to ask one more thing of you. I want to invite you to join me, my wife, my staff, our eldership, our financial board, to achieve a great task. There's a great task that we believe God wants us to achieve. We are believing, we're in faith, and we're trusting God that we can raise $200,000 for our annual miracle offering to accelerate the vision of this house. Last year, we did the same thing and we raised, it said 100, nearly 155 in the video. That's not quite right. It was just nearly $153,000 last year. Our church has grown in the meantime, so logic just tells me that we should be able to achieve our 200. It's a bit of a stretch, but if we can all get on board and do our fair share and give generously to this great cause, we can accelerate what God wants to do in our church. Our highest ranking area of health in our church, according to our top leaders, anonymous survey was our financial leadership. We have a strong board. We have good, clear structure. We have good policy and procedure to protect and cover all that God is entrusting to us. I'm asking for $200,000 above and beyond the tithe. Now, most people give their rebate back to God. If you didn't know this, in our beautiful nation, any donation given to a charity, you get 1/3 of that back. And the reason we do this now, it doesn't take rocket science. Most of us are getting our receipts in. We gave it to the Lord anyway, and we're just so privileged, at least in these years that we have, they may change the rules in the future, but 1/3 of all that will come back to us. If we chose just simply to return and give back what we get from the government, we will absolutely kick $200,000 out of the park. And we could immediately use that to continue the vision of this house to reach New Zealand. If you want to give more, you can. For some people, they want to do a pledge. You know what, Pastor? I'd love to get involved. Can't do it right now. Got other things going on. But later in the year, I'm planning to do this. I'd love to do this because this is happening in my world. And I'd love to make a pledge. Fantastic. We tread money very carefully, but we don't. With people, we treat it very lightly. We don't force it too strongly. I'm inviting you to contribute. I believe we have a compelling vision and a fruit-bearing ministry every year. We've been able to grow in our influence, but also in number and in spiritual fervor. And so please, you've been given one of those. You can fill that in. $200,000. Who thinks we can do it? We did 153 last year. Do you think we can do 200 this year? Come on. Praise God. I'm asking every member to do its fair share. It might just be $2. Please do your fair share, whatever you interpret that to mean. Praise God. We've come thus far pretty much on the back of about 30% of the church. And we think if everybody gets involved, it would be amazing to see what we can do. We'd have more stories of Masaki and John and Claude and Tanya and Timana and Lucina and so many other stories and names that I've mentioned. There's so many more that we could do. So we're trusting God. Who thinks we can do it? We're pretty much closed. Why don't we stand up to our feet? Praise God. You've got in your hand a physical hard copy of the faith goals that we're trusting God for this year. For most of them, wheels are already turning. Plans are already underway. Just look at what God has done in the last few years. It blesses my heart to see the work of the gospel in lives. You know, some of our children have given their life to Christ just in the last little while. Many of our youth have gotten right with God. Powerful stories. I just want that for New Zealand. I want that for members of Parliament. This is God's land, the great southern land of the Holy Spirit. There's a reason God has brought many of you to this nation. And it's not just for a better lifestyle. It's not just for security and safety for your children and your children's children. It is all of that, but it's also to help us reach this nation for Jesus. I believe it with every fiber of my being. Father, right now, I ask you, sir, to bring the heavenly call to reach this nation for Jesus. I ask you to place that call upon every member's life and heart. That, Father, we would all find our placement and our alignment to that. Let our love for you know no bounds. Let it know no boundary, no barrier. Thank you for being saved. Thank you for coming, Jesus. We honor you. We love you. We believe in the church. I love the church. I speak blessing over every church in the city that calls Jesus Christ Lord of their life. I want to speak blessing over every Bible-based, Spirit-filled church. Lord, that you would bless the pastors and the leaders. That, Lord, we pray, Father, for health and growth across all churches. It'll take all of us to change the nation. But, Lord, I pray for our church too, that we would be found diligent and faithful to steward the gospel. And even now in this early stage, I pray that you begin to speak to hearts and lives, what their contribution might be, what their involvement might be in this great vision. I thank you for our leaders. I thank you for our volunteers. I thank you for Connect Group leaders. I thank you for every nation, Tauranga and Hamilton. I thank you, Lord, for every nation, Wellington and Palmerston North and all the major cities. We thank you, Father God, into the islands of Samoa and Tonga. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Father God. Lord, would you grant us the grace and the ability to raise leaders, Lord, to send out people to grow healthy churches that are not consumed on their comfort, but healthy churches that will go out with the gospel. Lord, I pray this would go beyond my words and sit in our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you would continue to defend our land, even though many don't want you in it. I beg you, sir, do not leave it. This is your land. Thank you. I pray for your blessing upon the people of God today. Grant us traveling mercies. And I ask that you would grant us opportunity this week to share the hope that lies within Jesus Christ. We bless you, Lord. Bless each one. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great praise offering. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.